Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Friend of the show, Peter Kahn, covers boxing for Forbes. Good morning, Peter. How are you, man?
Brandon, how are you? Staying safe?
Oh, doing all right, man. Yeah, we're doing all right. Socially distancing from everybody. So, you know, we're making out okay. How are you and the family holding up?
Good, you know. We're here at home. We're at home, like 24/7.
Yeah, it's that's the times right now, man. So when I reached out to you yesterday asking you to come on the show to talk about this, one is because I know you kind of got your arms all over the place when it comes to the sport as far as covering it with managing and all that stuff. I know that you have a lot of contacts within the sport, so I thought you'd be a great person to kind of shed some light on all this. I did not know that you had already come out with a piece in Forbes regarding this, which is, I guess, the impact that coronavirus, COVID-19 is having on fighters, and you obviously have a big personal touch to this. So I guess from your perspective, what has these last 2 weeks been like, really? Not even 2 weeks, really been like as far as the fight game's concerned, and really what's the tone right now in the sport amongst people trying to run it?
I mean, the tone is uncertainty, right? I mean, at when this whole thing started, and this domino effect started to take place. It started with Top Rank deciding to cancel their shows that were to be headlined by Shakur Stevenson and Michael Conlon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was at first the idea that they were going to do it in front of no audience. They were the first to talk about having Madison Square Garden and then the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden basically empty. Then that quickly transitioned into they just didn't have adequate ability to test people that would be there, including the fighters, production, Top Rank staffers. So that combined with just Madison Square Garden and the state of New York, they decided to cancel that show. That then just set in, just one after one, shows started canceling. PBC show canceled. I believe that was in Maryland. Then the show that I was going to be a part of last Thursday in Atlantic City, which was going to feature the number 3 rated lightweight in the world, Emmanuel Tego, whom I manage, and Logan Holler, a female 154 pounder. They were slated to fight on that show, and that got canceled. And, you know, I have just these guys in camp. Chris Van Heerden's show, he was set to actually be on the ESPN broadcast 17 in Oklahoma. That's a Top Rank show. Mm-hmm. That was canceled. George Kambosos is scheduled to fight May 9th in a very important fight. And all these people I manage, right? So George is supposed to fight Lee Selby. It's an IBF final eliminator. Yeah. The winner of that fight.
Well, let me ask you about George.
Mandatory.
Let me ask you about George, because he has a big fight coming up where, you know, if he wins this, he's gonna, you know, fight the winner of Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko, and his fight is scheduled, you know, for May 9th, so, you know, pretty far down the road. And I saw that you said Eddie Hearn is already saying, like, yeah, probably not. And so, I mean, for everybody who thinks that you know, this is going to get maybe picked up after a couple months shut down, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like things are going to get back to normal even in early springtime or even in late springtime.
In boxing right now, the idea, and you're right, I mean, in boxing, the idea is that the earliest this is going to pick up is June. And that's kind of wishful thinking. In the meantime, like we were talking about George, he's been in camp training. George lives in Sydney, Australia.
Yep.
So, you know, last week I had to get Emmanuel Tego to the airport so he can go back to Accra, Ghana, where he's from. He was here for 4 months in camp since November 19th. He had had a previous cancellation. He incurred about $15,000 in expenses and training expenses. You know, thankfully, Lou DiBella stepped up and paid Tego's purse, 100% of his purse money,
wow,
even though he didn't fight. And that's, you know, promoters aren't obligated to do that. And I guess we can preface this. I should have prefaced this by saying, when I wrote the story, yeah, I manage fighters. I write combat. I write boxing. I'm a contributor for Forbes. I have the Fight Guys YouTube channel, so we're always talking to people. You know, we even spoke to Gervonta Davis last night, so which is up on the Fight Guys. You know, the thing about it is that these promoters, if fighters don't fight, they don't get paid. And the promoters are not obligated to pay them unless they cross those scales at the weigh-in and then the fight's canceled. So Lou, you know, really stepped up. And look, he has a lot at stake. Just like George, Tego's in prime position to fight for the lightweight title. So then I have, you know, I have Nika Seknashuli here from Georgia, the country. He's with Top Rank. He's 5-0 with 4 KOs. Doesn't speak English. He's living in the one-bedroom condo that we have for him in camp. He was scheduled to fight on the April 17th show with Chris Van Heerden on that show. And now he's just here, can't train. You know, City of Fort Lauderdale closed the gyms. So even, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the show, Javier Centeno, who owns Sweatbox Boxing, where my fighters train, which is where the training camp is, they can't even train. So
yeah, they're like, if you just see his Instagram, like they're out in the park hitting mitts. But that's, I mean, how much can that get you ready for a fight?
Well, here's, if you're getting ready for a fight that's supposedly going to take place May 9th, you just need the traditional camp environment where you have your sparring. You can't be out at Vista View Park running hills and doing mitts. I mean, this is not, you know, it's a way to stay in shape, but this is not a way to train for a fight.
And it's also, I mean, you're talking about a guy who this could be a life-changing fight for George too, where it's not, you know,
it is a life-changing fight. Absolutely.
And so you don't want to half-ass that and not have all the resources at hand when it comes to getting ready for it. It's a really, really tough position they're all put in. But for all your guys who are international that are here training already, what are the odds that some of them are going to get to go home? And I guess, you know, at least have some kind of normalcy until the green light is given for them to train again.
So Tego's back in Ghana. Van Heerden was here for 8 days starting camp, was sparring with Ulusanov, who was going to be fighting on the same day on the Matchroom show. So it was excellent timing. Chris is now back in Los Angeles. George is still here in a holding pattern waiting, but you know, he needs to go back to Australia. And then, you know, Nika, there was an issue with Georgia closing its borders, even for returning Georgian nationals. So we didn't do anything. We're just keeping him here. I mean, he'd have to go into a 2-week forced quarantine there anyway. So we're just keeping him here. But, you know, this just has an overall major effect on boxing in general. So May 2nd for Canelo's not taking place. A lot of these other fights that were just going to be, you know, things that people had been looking forward to, it just pushes everything back. It also changes the lives of these undercard fighters that, you know, aren't making the big money. Like in the story that I published, I wrote, most people don't understand, you know, the average 10-round fighter is making probably $20,000 per fight. The average world champion is ranging from 16 weight classes in boxing. Okay. So it ranges from 100,000 to Canelo's 35 million. Right. So yeah, the top 1% are the ones that are making the millions of dollars. The rest of the guys, you know, there's no organized league. There's no governing body. So there's just nothing that can help them when they don't fight. I mean, they count on fighting 3 times a year until they get their big opportunities. And a lot of these guys can't even go out and get regular jobs because they're stuck at home. So it puts a big financial strain on them. And the other thing is that when fights ramp back up. Everybody needs to go back into training mode. A lot of these guys try to stay within 15, 20 pounds of their fighting weight. And if they're stuck inside, they're not even staying in the gym. A lot of these guys are just getting depressed. I mean, there's a long lasting effect, and everyone's going to have to kind of like reset and get back in the groove. I mean, look, talking about Javiel has this new person he's training, Cambry Schroeder, who's a influencer on social media, Fit with Cambry. She's very popular. She's going to be making her pro debut this year. And now that just got started, and now that's getting pushed back. And she has a lot of potential. So it's just all over the place. I mean, just everything in the sport is really at a standstill.
How much is the issue going to be of getting boxing just completely going again? Because a lot of the talk is, and what I mean by that is, the talks in the NBA and maybe with Major League Baseball are they're going to be able to do this, and they're going to be able to do it without fans in the building, at least try and control it somewhat. Dana White's talking a little bit about that. But a lot of these people, they have, you know, big guaranteed television contracts. And it seems with boxing that the gate and the amount of fans that are in the stands is a big deal as far as, you know, fighters getting paid and all that stuff. So is it possible for boxing to get to do this, and is it smart for boxing to even get it off the ground if they can't come all the way back with not only doing the fights and broadcasting, but being able to have people in the stands so they can, you know, make all the money that goes to that, you know, somewhat a lot of times goes to the fighters?
Yeah, I mean, the gate's a very important piece, I think, of boxing, maybe more so than other sports, because what happens is, you know, a lot of people don't know that when a fight takes place at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, what will happen is the MGM will pay a site fee. So they'll buy they basically buy out the tickets, and they'll pay the promoter a site fee. So the promoter is basically paid in advance for the gate. And then, you know, the hotel and casino will use that. They'll sell the tickets. They'll use it for high rollers. You know, they'll use it how they see fit. Sometimes when a promoter knows that they stand to make a large gate, they can do some sort of partnership deal, or they'll just basically, you know, they'll just basically rent the building. Like for Wilder Fury 2, it was the third largest gate ever in Nevada history for a heavyweight championship fight. So, you know, the fans rewarded Top Rank and PBC for making the fights that they want to see by paying top dollar to go to the fight. I think it was like an average $1,200 and change ticket. So to your point, the gate is very important, especially for some of these smaller shows. I mean, that is a way that promoters offset costs. It's not just television or streaming. So they need it to survive. You know, they need it to be able to move on, especially for some of the smaller shows. I mean, a club show where these fighters are being built, some of the smaller ESPN and DAZN and Showtime and Fox shows, they need to have fans in those seats in order to be able to, you know, have that go towards the bottom line.
We're talking to Peter Kahn, of course, a boxing contributor for Forbes, and also, you know, manages many boxers down here in South Florida and around the world, as he's been pointing out to. Is there, you know, amongst the talk of people in the industry, is there a thought of, man, if we can get it going back here, you know, maybe a Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder kind of being the kickoff sometime in the summer? Is there a target date that's being bantied about that seems realistic, or a big event that seems where things can kind of get back to normal? That seems to be the most popular one, maybe of people thinking, okay, we're going to resume things here.
You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's such a fluid situation. I talk to all the promoters, you know, I'm in constant contact with Top Rank and with Matchroom and DiBella and Golden Boy. And I think that originally they were thinking that they can push Canelo back to June. I think that the Fury Wilder 3 fight that's slated for July 18, that's probably, hopefully, going to go off as scheduled. But if you really look at it, I mean, I think that Canelo was going to be the next big fight that we kind of had on the schedule for May 2nd, which, you know, the Cinco de Mayo weekend, which is a big weekend for him. I was talking to, like I said, Gervonta Davis last night. He's fighting Leo Santa Cruz. That date's up in the air. That's going to be his first pay-per-view. It's just, you know, look, Teofimo Lopez and Vasyl Lomachenko were scheduled for May 30 at Madison Square Garden. That's not happening. Now, even though people haven't come out and said it's not happening, that they didn't say that it's not happening, I mean, they're not happening. Like, these fights aren't happening. You can't
give
a guy 2 weeks notice. Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't say, okay, yeah, it's happening. I mean, they can't even go train. You can't train. You can't spar. You can't even prepare. I mean, in a pay-per-view needs 70 to 90 days of proper promotion. So anyone that thinks that these fights are going to go off as scheduled, it's just unrealistic. But it just sets everything back. It changes timetables. Then you have the act of God clauses in promoters' contracts. Of course, you know, that's where fighters need to fight. They need to stay active. The promoters are obligated to keep them busy. I'm wondering to see where this kind of falls into that situation, you know?
Certainly. So, all right, we're up against it, man. I got a break, but we appreciate your insight on it, and hopefully we'll do it again down the line, kind of getting an update on the story and whatnot.
Anytime. Look, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right, that's Peter Kahn. Always appreciate him giving us time for the show. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Shannon the Cannon Briggs. We're back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.